Jeremy, welcome to the show. I wish it was under different circumstances, my man.
Hey, good afternoon, Al. Me too. But appreciate you having me on for a couple minutes.
Definitely. Let's just dive right into it, Jeremy. From your perspective, how did you all arrive to this conclusion? And when did those conversations begin that this would probably be the final year after just one season for Ignite?
I think a lot of that would need to be answered by Tom Dixon as to really when, you know, he was taking a look at the books and I think doing so very closely and understanding, you know, where things didn't look like they could continue. I think it was, you know, late June, early July as we underwent some changes in the front office that I first started to notice maybe some red flags that things were not going well. But again, at the end of the day, you know, that was the responsibility for the continuation of the franchise rests with the owner, you know, who's Tom Dixon at this point. And so really that call was his to make.
Definitely. So when it comes to the possible continuation of the franchise, that was more so, like you just stated, Jeremy, in the hands of owner Tom Dixon then, right?
For sure. Yeah, I mean, he was, as the owner, you know, he had that decision to make to whether, you know, he wanted to continue on for a second year, and it became, you know, pretty clear as we moved further along down the season that wasn't going to be the case.
Jeremy, I want to ask this. You know, you mentioned how when looking at certain things, you did notice some red flags. Was there at all a miscommunication when it came to the realistic expectations in the first year for Ignite? Because, you know, we have been having conversations here on Current Sports, and usually when you're starting up a franchise, a lot of times you're going to be in the red maybe those first few years. That's just the reality of it. So was there a miscommunication when it came to those expectations or no? Oh, do we have Jeremy? Is Jeremy there? Jeremy, I don't know if you can hear me, but you're cutting out on us. Jack, not sure.
All wanted to have as many people come to our games as we could, and clearly we didn't have as many as we thought that could attend. But when you take a look at what happened with the franchise out from the very beginning, we just had a very short runway to really have a lot of success. We didn't put ourselves in the best scenario that we could to have success. We announced the franchise in late October and started kicking soccer balls in February. And if you think about all the things that you need to do behind the scenes, from hiring a front office staff to hiring coaches to finding players to getting your brand out there, marketing, selling season tickets, selling corporate tickets, selling group tickets, there just wasn't a lot of time to get that done. And those are the things that I really think that we could have improved on if there was going to be a year number two.
Definitely. And forgive us, Jeremy, but for some reason you cut out at the very beginning when I asked that question. Can you just repeat the very beginning of what you stated? I'm sorry, my man.
Yeah, no, there were some funny things going on the phone. I was like, I don't know if this is hanging up on me or not. So
technology.
I'm going to keep talking until somebody tells me not to.
There we go. Right.
I think what I stated was, you know, there were reasons I think that we weren't able to have the level of success that was expected from attendance. And I know that 4,000 number has been thrown out quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I just think that there are a lot of reasons that we weren't able to get to that point.
Gotcha. And that makes, yeah, I totally understand that. And, you know, for you, Jeremy, can you kind of set the scene? Because, you know, again, we had Marshall on last week, and I know it must have been a very, very somber and unnerving mood to be in that team meeting with the squad, as you and Nate Miller, head coach Nate Miller, and, you know, team president Nate Greaser, you guys delivered the news to the squad. What was that team meeting like? It had to be pretty emotional, right?
It was very emotional. I mean, I think you even rewind a couple of days and you go back to the semifinal match that we lost, and when that final whistle went, there were a few of us that knew that final whistle meant more than just the end of a match and the end of a season. It meant the end of a franchise. And the emotions that the room felt on that day, and the people in the room who did know felt. Again, not all the players knew that. You fast forward a couple of days, and you know, telling the players what the future held for the club, and it was up to Nick Greaser, the president, to deliver the message to the team. And he did that. I think there was just so much surprise and shock in the room. There were a few of the veteran players like Marshall, who you had on, who have seen these situations before in professional soccer and maybe were a little bit more prepared than some of the first-year pros that we had, who rightfully so never thought about the business side of what was happening. They were just focused on trying to win games, as they should have. But, you know, as they're learning in pro sports, there's a business side to that as well. So it was somber. It was sad. And there were some comments that from some players who were unhappy at the same time. So there was a mixture of kind of all those emotions.
Definitely. And you know, one of the points that Marshall made was, you know, some of these players and a lot of the staff even have, you know, uprooted and moved here to the Lansing area to be a part of this this organization. Jeremy, for you as the general manager and vice president, what kind of conversations have you had with players and staff about this news?
Well, I think more than anything else, we just wanted the players to know that, you know, the coaching staff and myself would do whatever we could to help them find their next landing spot. And that kind of became the focus. You know, and rightfully so, their minds started thinking toward what's next for me. And so for us just to be there for them, to let them know that we would do whatever we could to help them and whatever their next venture might be with whatever team that might be, and let them know that we would be there to support them in any way we can.
And how is that coming along, Jeremy? Have you already found some other homes for a few of your players?
Yeah, not yet. It's too early in the process, really, Al. This thing works is, you know, clubs have until the end of November to really make final determinations on what they want to do with players. I don't know if we talked about it before, but all of our guys are either on a one-year contract or a one-plus-one, and that second year in the one-plus-one was a club option. So that's what gives clubs a time frame of November to find out what they want to do and how they want to move forward. So a lot of clubs are finishing their seasons, whether it was League One, that's all done now, or championship teams, or they're in the playoffs now. So those teams are really kind of doing a deep dive into themselves and understanding where they want to go and move forward. And I know there are conversations that are being had, but at this point, that's about it.
Jeremy Sampson, former vice president and general manager of Lansing Ignite. Jeremy, you know, you said on your Facebook page yesterday, I really liked your post. And, you know, at the end of you expressing how saddened you are that this ride is coming to an end for Ignite, you said, quote, "I would rather have tried and failed than to have never tried at all." Jeremy, I hope you don't feel like a failure in this, do you?
Yeah, I mean, and it's funny because I do. And there's a lot of people around who, like yourself, had said, you know, there's no way you should feel like that. But when you, you know, I started Lansing United 6 years ago, and at the time, Al didn't have any kind of aspirations to take it professionally, but things changed within the U.S. soccer landscape, and new leagues formed, and it looked like a city like Lansing could have a professional team and could support it. So when you just go through something for a year and then it doesn't work out, it does feel like a failure. And you know, I take responsibility for my side and my piece of the organization that I wasn't able to do more to help the bottom line and to attract more people. And there's a lot of people that have to bear that responsibility. So, but I stand by what I said. I would rather have given it a shot just to see what could happen versus always playing the what if game and saying, well, what if I would have done that? Would it have worked? Would it have not? I mean, at least we can hold our head high and say that we gave it a shot. We gave it the best chance with the parameters that we had and the timing that we had to make the best the organization and give this city something special, something different. And I am glad that we did it.
Definitely. Very well said, Jeremy. And you know, you've helped grow professional soccer fandom here in the Lansing area immensely. Where do you go from here, Jeremy, when it comes to that? Any new ideas? I know you still have Lansing United. What's going through your brain right now as far as your goals and ambitions?
Well, from a soccer standpoint, we're going to keep the Lansing United women going. You know, I started that club a couple years ago and did so primarily because I have a daughter that plays. She's a sophomore in high school, and I wanted her to make sure that she knew that she would have a place where she could play in the summer just like the guys did, and that there are outlets out there for female players just like there are for men's players. And that's really why I started that organization, is for her and for other young female players in the area so that they could have a place to go. So that will continue. As far as Lansing United men, I think that's really still up in the air, Al, as to what's going to happen from that respect. You know, as you know, even running those organizations, it was like a labor of love for me. It was a second job, if you will. I always had a regular 9-to-5 job, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm in the starting point of searching for a new position right now, and we'll see what comes of another men's team. If I'm completely honest, you know, this process and what we've been through has taken a lot of starch out of me personally. And I think that there's some other people in town that have some ideas of ways that we can continue having some high level soccer, whether it's in the summer or other ways. And I would just like to have conversations with them and see if I can be a part of that, or it doesn't have to be just about me and me alone. I think the one thing that I've learned is it's tough to do something like this all by yourself. And it really does take a lot of people to get it done. And if that's the case, then I'd love to have those conversations, and I will continue to be an advocate for soccer in the Lansing area in any way that I can.
Definitely. And you know, you said it has taken a lot of starch out of you, this endeavor, Jeremy. Has it killed the dream for you of having a professional soccer team like Lansing United in Lansing's backyard?
Yeah, I think that dream is dead. At least it is right now. Now, could it be revived? Certainly. And you know, never say never. Mm-hmm. But right now, you know, there's only really one professional league at this third division level. There's a couple that are others that are trying to start. Lansing's not a big enough market to be in the second division of U.S. soccer. So when you only have one league to go into and you've had one season and you haven't been able to make it to the second in that season, you know, it's going to be hard to sell that to another ownership group or even to the league that this thing would be viable moving forward.
All right, before we get you out of here, Jeremy, I want you to just talk to the fans out there, because we've had a few that have you know, commented and called here on Current Sports in this past week that are, you know, a bit disappointed. You know, they loved having Lansing Ignite a part of the Lansing community. What do you want to say to the fans out there who are listening right now?
I think the biggest thing is just thank you. Thank you for those that started supporting Lansing United back in 2014 and continue to support that venture with the addition of a women's team and then the transition to the professional team. Yeah, there were so many people that purchased tickets or bought gear and showed just this unwavering support. You know, even going as far as the mayor and the city council and other state representatives in this area who threw their support behind our club and our endeavor, you know, what they did, you know, thanks just simply isn't enough. But then you have the assembly line, which is our most ardent supporters. And I feel really badly for them. You know, they put their heart and soul into a club, into an organization. They spent money, they spent time, and they didn't do it for self-gratification. They did it for the players. And talking with some of them in the past couple of days, I know our players have reached out to some of them have given them jerseys and have made contact in other ways and have shown a lot of class in this situation. And for those guys, again, I will forever be grateful for their support in what we've done. And sometimes, I guess, thank you just doesn't seem like enough. But there's a lot of people that help make this happen, Al, and those guys are right at the top of the list.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jeremy, you have done an amazing job, my friend. And whatever you decide to do from here on out when it comes to soccer here in this area and beyond that, you are going to be successful in it, my man. Thank you so much for your time, all right? Really appreciate you coming on today's Current Sports, Jeremy.
I've always appreciated your support, Al. You've done a great job of talking about our organization from the very beginning and interviews with coaches and players and that stuff. So thank you again for all of your coverage, and I look forward to seeing you at the Michigan State basketball game very soon.
Hey, you got it, my man.